Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. Joining us is animal communicator Zan. Zan is an animal communicator that works internationally. Having done so since 2013, she communicates primarily with cats and dogs. Not only does she communicate with living animals, but also with those animals that are with us in spirit, those animals that have already passed on. Zan describes what she does as mental telepathy with animals, but mixed with rational behaviorism that's grounded in meditative states. She uses the behaviorism and mental telepathy to bring this all together. You know, there are many purposes that an owner will seek out Zan for the services. For instance, if an owner maybe has ruled out various sicknesses with a vet and the animal still isn't feeling too well, if the owner suspects that the area of concern is behavioral, such as animals not getting along, attacking other animals and people, or doing their business in places other than a little box or outside, sometimes even consults a terminally ill animal regarding the issue of putting it to sleep. One of the most unique services that she provides is to help find lost animals. In addition to cats and dogs, she's communicated with other animals as well. Very passionate about sharing her abilities, she offers a sliding scale fee and encourages people to pay only if they're happy with her service. She also enjoys performing her animal communication services with rescue animals. In addition, the proceeds earned from this service are donated to the Dachshund Humane Society. Also, as a musician, and we're going to get a chance to hear some music towards the latter part of this broadcast on Close Up Radio, she's written and performed a few songs about her career as an animal communicator, as well as for the purpose of raising money for the Dachshund Humane Society. It's our pleasure to welcome Zan live and direct from Massachusetts to Close Up Radio for the next 30-minute fascinating conversation. Zan, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you, John. Can you hear me?
Yes, this is Jim Masters, okay. And we can hear you. Yeah.
I mean, Jim, sorry. Yep. Oh, God. Like, yeah. Jim,
that's
I knew
right.
That. Okay.
Now, of course, she asked if I could hear her only because she's a humorist. Since she's a communicator, she wanted to make sure that we heard her. That's one of the keys to good communication, right, is being able to listen for humans and animals. I think the animals sometimes listen a little bit better than the humans have been in recent years, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We could do a whole other show on that. Welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. And let's talk a little bit about what inspired you initially to want to be an animal communicator. Were you always surrounded by animals growing up in Massachusetts?
Oh, well, you know, I places in New England, but, you know, we always had cats or a dog. There were sometimes ponies and horses. But I think what it really was in about 2005, my late husband, had a little cat that needed to take heart medications, and she just wasn't taking them. And this was before all the things we know now about how to get cats to take pills. But I used Penelope Smith's book, Animal Talk, to help, you know, figure out how we could give her the pills. And I was basically, you don't have to be in the same room or even in the same building or the same town. So I was in a diner up on the Upper East Side while he was in Chelsea, and I was saying, well, how can we help you take this pill? And she said, just give me a snack. And I know it seems very easy right now, but back in the day, we hadn't thought of it. So then pretty soon she was lining up for her snack every day at the same time around 4 p.m. I think Harry fed her the pill, or maybe it was later. But anyway, we gave her the snack and she took it. And then pretty soon she was lining up to get it every single day like clockwork. And I credit Penelope Smith's book for just asking the question, what could we do better? You know, Jim?
Yeah.
And so then I read her book, and then I started taking a course with Joanna Spear and Warwick. And but the thing is, as a child with horses, I would try to communicate and just get nowhere, honestly. As a child, I would try to write to my pony in a diary, and then I would get to ride her. And she would be like, no, we're not doing this. And she would be kind of mean. And I didn't have any connection at all. But it wasn't until I read Penelope Smith's book, and we really had problems with a cat with heart that needed heart meds.
Wow, that's amazing, huh? How do you define animal communication?
Oh, yeah. Well, it is mental telepathy, like you said. But it can be a lot of things. It can be sometimes it can be just a simple thing, like you're quiet, you're just taking some quiet time with your animal. Like, I don't know if you have dogs or cats, but, you know, a person is just sitting on their couch watching TV with a dog, and that can be a very great moment, and just pausing to see how beautiful they are. But animal communication is, we do kind of a telepathic thing where, you know, I can do it on FaceTime or Zoom, but I also can just focus on a photo and zoom in, zoom out, kind of meditate for a couple minutes, send love, ask permission. And then they start talking to me. But it's not like a real voice. It's more like something very ethereal, mental in the head, you know, in your head. And it's not like somebody calls out, like, you know, hey, I want to go out for a walk. Although a lot of dogs do say they'd rather be out at that moment.
That's incredible. That's really incredible. Let's talk about the actual work itself. What types of animals do you work with? I know cats and dogs, and it sounds really fascinating.
Well, it's mostly cat and dog, and I also have a certification in feline behavior, which the textbook also included a lot of dog things, but I don't consider myself at all a dog trainer. But, all the typical things, like sometimes dogs getting too aggressive or cats or dogs eliminating inappropriately, they might call it, like cats fighting in a group, you know, group of cats, or if they're two. Lost cats, end of life, you covered it all in your really nice introduction. Or, you know, even mourning when people are grieving, or sometimes animals grieve each other and people call about that. Like I have one this weekend where somebody has an animal grieving another animal, and it's very common because more people are getting them in pairs, which is, I guess, it's a good idea.
Yes, right? Yeah. Almost, yeah, like they have their own friendship or brother-sister relationship in a certain way that is unbelievable. You also work with horses and squirrels, kangaroos and rabbits, and even snakes.
Yeah.
Tell us how you do all that.
Well, okay, so it was really only one kangaroo, a few rabbits, not too many snakes. I think maybe two, I'm not sure even if there are three, maybe two. Squirrels, I've only done a couple of times, and that tends to be like pest removal. And
oh, you're too humble. Once you work with a kangaroo, you've worked with a kangaroo.
Well, that kangaroo had a little bit of like a broken elbow or something that was recovering. Mm. It was something like that.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. How do you work with a snake?
Well, the thing is, you know, snakes are a little different from dogs and cats because they're cold-blooded, right?
Yeah.
And they're reptiles. And it's a little bit slower. Or also with animals in the wild, that can be a little more distant. But, you know, basically, I have to be honest, this one time that a snake got lost inside the house, the problem was it was a Honduran.
You say that
snake.
So calmly.
Yeah, it was a Honduran. It was in too cold of a climate, and it just went to hibernate kind of for a while. And then later the guy said, yeah.
My nephew has two, and one got out of the, the enclosure, and ended up hidden behind for weeks and weeks and weeks behind the refrigerator.
Oh,
And eventually did come out eventually, but until then stayed behind the refrigerator and they couldn't find him. And
well, that's a poser.
Must have stocked up on food before he decided to take that trip.
It is a little different feeling with snakes, but he was showing me that he was inside a kind of a dark structure, a kind of wooden dark structure, and did sound like he was hidden in the walls, you know.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? They have their own, all animals have their own personality, and each is unique, like people, each is unique. And
exactly,
different.
Jim, the same.
Yeah.
The same and different. Like, yeah, there are commonalities, but there are unique. They're also very. Each one is unique. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Do you have any unusual or amazing stories? I hear there's cat out of the window and more.
Okay. So that one about the cat. Okay. The one about the cat going out the window. This woman. On Halloween one year in a northern urban setting, like in a city, she left the ground floor apartment, left the window open on Halloween to go out to an appointment and, you know, forgot to close it and the cat got out. And so I was consulted on kind of a lost cat case. And we spent about an hour talking, but basically what we pieced together is he said to me, I went out in search of candy, but I defaulted to Lebanon. And so I immediately thought of the Middle East, and there were more steps to this, but I said, are there Middle Eastern restaurants in your neighborhood? And she goes, yeah, across the street is one, and she went right out to it after her call, and turned out the cat was in the vet, door to vet. Now, if she had been thinking straight, she might have thought to go to the vet first, right? But we weren't, you know, sometimes when people lose their animals, it's a panic, it's really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So we kind of had a roundabout way of getting to it. Yeah. But I just love that message. And some, you know, animals will use our data banks, whatever's in there floating around, they'll use what's in their mind. So it's good to be like a lifelong learner and just learn what you can about life.
Yeah. What about some of the other stories that you
have? Okay.
Dogs,
so the other
weapons.
One. Oh, well, the thing is, there's a new kind of thinking. I just got this book from this Stop and Shop called A Dog's Brain. And, you know, Jim, I feel like this is kind of new thinking, but a lot of times people get dogs with the unconscious understanding that the dog's going to guard the house. You know, everyone knows that if thieves come to your house and they hear dogs barking, they're going to move to the next house, you know. And so people, I think, unconsciously think their dog is a guard. And but the problem is, the new thinking is we should never put a dog in a position where it feels like it has to defend itself or you or really the house. I mean, patrolling is one thing because animals need a job and dogs can sort of, you know, but we, like children, I mean, not that they're children, but you know how we try to provide a safe life for children when they're growing up so they can have a safe environment as much as we can. We want our dog to feel safe. And every time that somebody gets a dog because they're insecure about their environment, you know, I say, just don't go into dangerous places because they'll get the message from us that we're insecure or feel endangered, and they'll act out. They'll defend us. They'll go bite someone. So, you know, I mean, I'm not saying they always do. We have a lot of good dogs. I mean, I know a lot of good dogs. But and especially if it is an attack dog, I knew one that when he got older got a little cognitive dissonance, and then, you know, he lost his bite inhibition and was attacking without command, without being commanded. So there are, I just feel like, you know, our dogs should be allowed to feel safe and not like they have to be you know, weapons of war. That, you know, it's a new kind of thinking, Jim. I hope it becomes more widespread.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
On so many different levels, right? Exactly. Let's talk more about, you know, the work itself. Many people are amazing at animal care, and they want to, you know, be a little bit better, but some of them just want the optimum thing, right? What is the best thing to feed my pet, or what can I do to help animals and their guardians coexist more happily? These are some of the mm-hmm. questions that people have, right?
Yeah, I mean, some questions are not like dreadful emergencies like fighting or biting. Some things are more like, how can we get closer? What can I do to make my cat or dog happier?
Yeah.
And what would they like? And what do they want to tell me? And sometimes, you know, that if you're thinking of moving, the animal will know that, and they'll say to me that we want to move. I want to move. And it turns out very often that the guardian has been thinking of contemplating a move for some reason. But also they say funny things, and they're very often keen observers of someone's emotional life. And I'm sorry, the question was, oh, yeah, optimal. Yeah, so, I mean, the question of feeding, sometimes that depends on what the cat's physical makeup is, and very often if there's something medically wrong, I want them to check it out with the vet first, because I'm not a vet, I'm not a medical genius, but I do try to do remote healing. It's almost like faith healing, but or energy, so sort of like Reiki, if you will, like that.
Yeah.
But and very often when I'm trying to send them warmth, basically just sending them warmth, peace, and love, they'll talk to me while I'm doing it. So my healing is a little odd because they'll talk all the way through it. Yeah, sometimes.
It's incredible. It really is. What do you think are some of the things that set you apart from other caters?
Okay, well, as you know, I ask people to pay only if they're happy, because I like to set up a thing where they don't feel like, oh, you know, I paid, you know, 30, half an hour, or 60 for an hour, and what if I don't get my money's worth? Like, I want to eliminate all that worry, you know, that you're going to get scammed. So that, you know, pay if you think it was a good experience, and then I do give the proceeds to Dick and Humane Society at this point, and I always have. And then there, yeah, I did train as a musician for most of my life. And so Merlin's Bag of Tricks, that song is kind of a fantasy about what might be going on in his head. But the song, Dick and I Need, was just some lyrics that I sang over a Meredith Brooks song called I Need. And it was about materialism and greed and, you know, how much is too much, how much is enough for a woman, you know, and she says, that's all I need, that's all I need, and see how easy I am to please. But I made it into like a wish list for the shelter, because there were certain things that were kind of it's doing much better now. But back in the day, like say 10 years ago, there were things like a broken bucket or we needed more pens.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and so, and then it was just about adoption, you know, adopt me, you know, I'm easy to feed, you know, that kind of thing.
That's
yeah,
terrific.
I play the piano and compose, and I do a little bit of recording. And
I bet you
my
we
training
have music, too. We actually have, we've got two songs. One is I Need, and featuring Meredith Brooks, part of the fundraiser for the Dakin Humane Society. Tell us about I Need. We'll play that for our audience.
Okay, well, it's like... you know, if you adopt a pet, it's not that, I'm trying to say it's not that hard. Actually, in truth, Jim, it's a responsibility getting a dog or a cat, and you don't want to do it if you're not willing to do it.
We've always
gotten
ours from the humane societies as well. That's where we've always
adopted
ours. Humane societies are wonderful, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah,
they all are. And, I think I did used to give to the one on Long Island when I lived in New York.
North Shore Animal League?
I think that's it, yes.
That's the big one, yeah. They're wonderful, too. There's so many of them. Connecticut Humane Society. I mean, there's a lot of different ones. So
yeah,
I encourage
folks
to go to their local, wherever they're listening, you know, around the world to us, go to the local, you know, area and...
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of animals in need, for sure. And speaking of I Need, let's play that for our audience right now. I think they'll thoroughly enjoy it. Here it is. And did you write this song?
Actually, this song is by Meredith Brooks, and I sang my own lyrics over it. And sometimes I just let her
Okay, so this is a cover of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So let's get to hear Zan doing her thing. See, she's multi-talented. Her big debut here on Close Up Radio Worldwide. Here is I Need.
I need some Castro. I need a best friend. I am a good dog. I need a good end. I need some wet gloves, a blanket, a cat, a trip to the laundry. How about that? I need a scooper and then a new pen. I need better vision, precision, the right to come early and get in the work. A week on an island, a bucket that works. I need a dose of the tribal. I'm up course in survival. Just talk about the essentials to make me feel alive. That's all I need. See how easy I am to feed. That's all I need. See how easy I am. Kibble, more kibble and more wet. A can of the weight loss, some junk food, a pet. A stranger to trust me, a human to love me. Springfield, sunbeam, and more than just melody. I need a pillow to land on all fours. Cool friends, weekends, and someone to die for. When I'm alone on my couch, nothing can settle me down. I'm adding on to my list. It makes me feel alive. That's all I need. I'm not asking for everything. That's all I need. See how easy I am. I need a good friend, I need some space, a forever home in a happier place. Yeah, that'll fix it, I'll be complete.
Fantastic, Zan. Wonderful.
Oh.
Congratulations on that. I want to slip in. We have another one here, so I want to make sure we have time for it. This is Merlin's Bag of Tricks. Did you want to quickly mention a little bit about this one?
Yes. Well, I think I was very enamored of how smart I thought my cat was. And they told me he was an Olympian when he was 2 years old, but he actually was hiding a heart murmur. So we thought it was so interesting how he hid his, not a heart murmur, something was off with his heart. I think it was enlarged, and he hid it all his life. And we were just thinking, well, he was so amazing at hiding that and sort of just he used to catch balls in the air, sort of like a dog would catch a frisbee when he was younger. But, you know, you'll find that cats are very willing to do a lot of amazing things if you just raise your expectations. Yeah.
Absolutely. Merlin's Bag of Tricks with Zan here on Close Up Radio.
Merlin's got a little bag of tricks in his head. You can see he's got some mixed up set. Merlin takes delight in playing games in low light. He can ace his luck, it just isn't there. Just don't care. We must go, la 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 la. 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 I don't want to hurt you when I tell you to go. It's a future that I just cannot see. Why do I feel fuzzy when I don't even know? You have told me when you're gonna see. We will know, la 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 la. Like a love, da 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 da. We will see, la 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 la. We are free, la 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 la. Murray likes to fight and play in puzzles at night. He can play it like he just don't care. We will see, la 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 la. We are free, la 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 la. We will see, la 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 la. We are free, la 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 la.
Very cool song. Another great one there as well. Zan, our special guest. Do you enjoy the singing, Zan?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you can tell.
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Tell us about your husband, Harry, and some of the things you're most proud of.
Well, you know, Harry would sometimes overhear a few things, like he was a photographer, so he'd always hear me say, yeah, please send me a photo with a name and age and photo with eyes wide open. And he would sometimes say, don't forget to say eyes wide open, because he was a commercial photographer. But he said, you know, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in mental telepathy, but I see that you're helping people. And he would sometimes, you know, hear just little snippets. I mean, he wasn't in the room, but he could hear that things were going well, and he was a great support in that way.
Yeah. If people want to learn more and connect with you, Zan, what is the best way to do that?
Well, I like email, but text is fine too. So,
do you have a website as well?
Yeah, zanottaway.com it has all that. Mm-hmm.
I'll spell that out. It's Z-A-N, N as in nickel, and OTTAWAY.com website.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way to connect, right?
Yep. Yeah.
That is fantastic. Yeah.
And just so people can understand their animals better. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Anything else you want to add in? We've got about 30 seconds. I know you're trying to...
Wow, we can communicate, we can heal each other, and we just want to use that power for good. I'm not trying to prove anything, but I am trying to help people understand their animals better.
It is so important on so many different levels, absolutely. Zan, thanks for joining us on the show. Hopefully we'll get a chance to explore some more and hear a little bit more, maybe some testimonials. Cool things like that, but thanks for spending time with us on Close Up Radio. Yeah. That was a pleasure.
Thank you, Jim. It was for me too. You did such a wonderful job.
Thank you. I appreciate that very, very much. Keep up the extraordinary work. I'm Jim Masters, Close Up Radio, and thank you for joining us as well. And we thank Zan for joining us. Zan, you can, of course, go to the website, ZANOTTAWAY.com, to connect and learn more. And you got a chance to hear some music on Close Up Radio today as well, which was fantastic. That was Zan singing, which I thought was really cool. We thank you, Zan. We thank you, Jim Masters. Thank you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another incredible guest as well from around the world, exclusively right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, be well and have a terrific day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.